The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 14th of April, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. As we start the show, I just want to take a moment, a message for the Hannah Hasty Tynes family, a reminder that this evening, tonight, Tuesday, the 14th of April, 2026, at 6 p.m., at St. Barnabas Anglican Church, St. Barnabas Anglican Church, the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association will be hosting a memorial for Esther May Hannah Culmer. Esther May Hannah Culmer. This evening, Tuesday, the 14th of April, 2026, 6 p.m., St. Barnabas Anglican Church. We ask all Hannah Hasty Tynes family members who are able to attend to please come out and let us share this moment together. Esther May Hannah Culmer was a stalwart, pun intended, in the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association and spent many, many years ensuring that we can gather together as a family for our family reunions. The funeral service for Esther May Hannah Culmer will take place on Thursday, the 16th of April, Thursday, the 16th of April, 2026, at 10 a.m. at Holy Trinity Anglican Church, Stapleton Gardens. That's Stapleton Gardens. Well, the document is here. It is here. The blueprint for progress is here. I don't know if it's been printed. I don't know if the blueprint has been printed yet, but the digital document is available for perusal. And I guess I want to start right there because, we're going to need some printed copies. We're going to need some printed copies. Here's why. Because this would be an excellent opportunity. I don't know. I think it'd be an excellent opportunity for this administration to show us that they understand the dynamics of disseminating information to the public, particularly information that is important, right? That they need to know to stay within the confines of the law, to be able to operate their lives or their businesses effectively, properly, in a safe manner. Access to information. What does that mean? That means that while everybody may have a cell phone, everybody is not cell phone literate. While everybody may have a cell phone. They may not have a device that makes it easy to dissect this document on it. A handheld device like a cell phone is great, but it's not necessarily the most appropriate tool for the type of assessment and evaluation of the documents that's required. So, oh, then the next thing is this. You can't keep the power on. Electronic devices and the digital information that's disseminated through them require a consistent supply of electricity. It seems y'all are having an issue with that still, despite the new era in energy reform. So today we're going to walk through the PLP manifesto. I know the FNM manifesto has been out. I took a brief scan of it, but today we're going to look at the PLP manifesto. We're going to do a walk through it. Why? First of all, because they're late. That's why. I mean, second of all, because it's important. But first of all, because they're late. I'm trying to figure out, what's the indicator that you used, right? What's the indicator used to determine that this was a successful term and that you could call it now, right? Because how do you have a manifesto launch without the actual manifesto? I mean, I kind of get it because you had a health plan launch without the actual health plan available for people to touch and read and formulate critical or interrogative questions to put to the stakeholders present in the room at the time. That's why it's necessary to have the document in hand. In fact, that's a joke. Like, that's the sort of thing when I tell my teacher or my Grammy that, they laugh at me and give me a B minus. Because the truth is, we should have had the document days in advance. Days in advance of the official launch so that we could come prepared to the event with questions. That we could juxtapose, right? So that we could juxtapose what we have already digested from the manifesto with what individuals are saying on stage. Right? That's why they're late. They're not just late because they didn't have it on the day of the launch, but they're late because we should have had it ahead of the launch to prepare. Ms. Green, why cabinet ministers still burning taxpayer gas if no parliament gas done high, they getting free gas? Because the role of a cabinet minister is different from the role of an MP. The ministries still have to function. Right? The ministries still have to function. We're going to go through this article. Nomination day on April 16th, and the advance poll will be held on April 30th. And maybe members of the audience can fill in some of the blanks for us, right? What is the date that cabinet ministers have to turn in all of their official, like, mechanism? You turn in the car, you clear out your office, you take your little microwave and your TV home with you. What is the specific date that that must occur, right? So we start with this article, nomination day on April 16th, and the advance poll will be held on April 30th, 10th of April, Nassau Guardian. If you want to read along or you want to make a note, so you could do your own research. Parliamentary Commissioner Harrison Thompson told the Nassau Guardian that nomination day is set for April 16th and the advance poll will be April 30th. Quote, we're now preparing for those days. Everybody knows what they need to do, Thompson said. Quote, we're just wrapping up registration now that we're finished that process. Quote, now we're getting ready for the nomination day and then the advance poll, then the big dance. Close quotes, Thompson said. I just want to say something, like, for students who are writing essays and, like, preparing for exams, you know, when you, you get your essay back and there's just red lines. It's a red line through one sentence, two sentences, three sentences, four. And then the teacher says, yeah, all of those words were unnecessary. Yeah, that's a similar instance here. Commissioner, those words are unnecessary. Give us substantive words. Give us like some real information. Give us some real information about the process that perhaps can help us. Like when he said nearly 203,000 people are on the register, right? Like that's real information. We would have liked a more specific number by this point in time. By this point in time, PRD, Parliamentary Registration Department, should be able to tell us exactly to the point how many people are registered. Give us real information. We're going to go on. Thompson said that officials have thus far identified 12 stations for advanced polling and are currently working on finalizing those stations to ensure that operations go smoothly. And here's a question I have. Why is this a last-minute exercise? This particular thing, identifying advanced polling stations. Why are you doing that right now? Isn't that something that you do like year-round? Every year or every 6 months or every quarter, you make an assessment of whether the ownership of the structure that you had in mind has changed, right? But are we using government entities where the state can have a greater degree of control over access to the building? I have a text here that says, Parliament is dissolved. What job they got? Permanent secretaries are there. Because Parliament and Cabinet are two separate entities. I think. I mean, that's just off the top. Aaron, the PLP choose progress document release is simply the cart before the horse. LOL. We're going to take a look at it in a moment. We're going to walk through it and see what it is saying. So thus far they've identified 12 stations for advanced polling and are currently working on finalizing those stations to ensure the operations go smoothly. Like, I don't even know what this sentence means, because if you have thus far identified 12, do you intend on assigning more locations, so there'll be more than 12? And what does it mean to work on finalizing those stations to ensure that operations go smoothly? And is this not a year-round exercise, right? Like, where from the beginning of the administration, you identify individuals who would be called into the process, they're assigned returning officers or whatever, and that there is a required training session that takes place regularly, maybe once a year or twice a year, to train these individuals responsible and then to do the work of identifying the non-human resources necessary and ensuring access to them at any given time. Is that not what we're doing? Y'all really just shut the PRD down? Y'all just shut it down after the election and then don't pick it back up until you get a hint of something's happening? Anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then a texter has a question, why are the cabinet ministers still moving around? If someone with an actual technical answer has the answer, please text or call. The text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And the lines to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island listeners. What's going on in the ground in the Family Islands? Are things unfolding the way that they normally unfold as we approach election? Now, mind you, this is not a normal approach to the election. And I'm going to be honest, even though Minutes may have set a precedent with a snap election. I don't think anybody really expected, given the commentary emanating from both the administration and the PLP party, that they would be calling an early election. And so it could be that people were caught unawares by a second snap election. How are things unfolding on the family of islands? 242-300-5720. I had two other headlines here before we go into the manifesto. The first is PLP official addresses finance reform as party outlines election deadlines. Progressive Liberal Party communications director Latrey Ramming said campaign finance reform should be part of the Bahamas' national development agenda, but stopped short of committing the party to specific action. Quote, I think that futuristically, and even now, there's going to be a need, especially in our national development plan, to see how we have a structured approach to campaign finance reform. Close quotes, Mr. Ramming said during the PLP's first weekly press conference yesterday, adding, the Bahamas should examine models from similar jurisdictions to determine what best fits the country. I want to read that again. Quote, I think that futuristically and even now, there's going to be a need, especially in our national development plan, to see how we have a structured approach to campaign finance reform. Close quotes, Mr. Ramming said. Isn't that beautiful? For a young man that has been in politics for so little time to so easily adopt the rhetoric of the political class, it was beautiful. Y'all don't have this guy teaching English literature for BGCSEA because that is poetic. It is poetic. Here's another text. Good day. How does one register for early voting? How does one register for early voting? Well, there have been notices. There have been notices about the place for stations open for advance polling. But the last word, I'll be honest with you, the last word I saw was that an individual had attempted to register and the station identified in the flyer was not an operational station. So I'm looking it up as we speak. Advance polling application details. Maybe AI could tell me more about it. Okay, so I'm at the PRD. We're looking, we're at the website, and we're at the page Advanced Poll Eligibility. Those wishing to apply in person may do so at one of the following locations: New Providence, Cable Beach Post Office, Elizabeth Estates Post Office, Main Post Office, Town Center Mall, Parliamentary Department, Farrington Road, Grand Bahama, Lucayan Lodge Hall, East Sunrise Highway, Parliamentary Registration Department, Sub Office on East Mall Drive. If you go to the Parliamentary Registration Department website, or if you search what I searched was advance polling application details, and that page, I told you the page advanced poll eligibility popped up, and that's what I'm reading from. On that page, you have two links. One is advanced poll online applicants, My Gateway, overseas applicants, and special voters applicants. Again, for overseas applicants and special voters applicants, there is a link on the Parliamentary Registration Department website that will take you to the My Gateway platform where you can apply to vote in the advance poll or overseas voting or for special voters. The link is also directly on the form, Overseas Applicants Form J and Special Voter Applicants Form K. Again, elections.gov.bs, elections.gov.bs, and search advanced polling or advanced poll eligibility in the search option at the top of the page. I hope that was helpful, Texter. I hope that was helpful. I think someone is attempting to share a link to that information. And we just want to be as helpful as possible. I am waiting for the government to send out a data package, right? Like to all the media houses, so that hosts, in preparing for shows and with the expectation that there will be requests for information, will have one single package of documents that they can refer to for said information. Again, elections.gov.bs and search advanced poll eligibility. Let's go back to the text line. Did the PLP find their plan yet? Well, let me tell you all something. Yesterday I went to the FNM headquarters, PLP headquarters. It's close to where I live. And the manifesto was not available at that time, right? Given that it was released digitally, I didn't expect her to have a digital copy to give me. Let me just say something. The staff in these offices, they're very helpful and nice, you know, and accommodating. Very helpful. Very, very helpful. To the point where I feel bad critiquing because I would hate for them to think that the critique is about them specifically and not about the mechanism that they're working with. Well, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller, and thanks for your patience. You still there? Hi, good morning.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Rita. It's just three quick questions, right?
Yeah, man.
One, would you be able to advise the general public kindly, like probably every weekly, mm-hmm. on how much the time frame we have for voting?
Okay.
Some people actually are under the impression that we have half a day off. I think it's actually 2 hours. I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can check what I think is like 2 hours plus your lunch break, which makes it 3 hours. So I think that you have 3 hours. But could you legally tell the people, the general public, how much time you have to vote?
Okay.
The second thing I want to ask, right, what is your views on the gambling, on the lotto?
Okay, we could talk about that,
and
too.
And the third thing, right,
uh-huh.
You know, Lincoln said, well, you better have your Queen's English, so you have the down pocket.
You see that, eh? I do suspect that many of us will not be eligible to vote in this upcoming election. Because I barely make in the cut. Every day I apply for ZNS community announcements because you know you get to have the Queen's English on point. So on point that I'm not even sure if Charles could speak it. That's why we don't call it the King's English yet. But technically, all of us, including Lincoln, can't vote. Because if you didn't know that it is now the King's English, then you don't qualify, hey? I think they call that irony. But that video that young lady did, I don't know what your name is, young lady, but you need a National Heroes Award. The Elevations Award, they need to put your name on the list with Sawyer Boy, Stephen Hanna, Dasque the Bubbler, and the boy who's wearing the short pants and the bow tie all the time. That was hilarious. That is political satire. That right there. Because who here speaks the Queen's English? We don't even test anymore in the Queen's English. That's why we have BGCSE, right? As opposed to GCE or GCSE. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. A little shook up from yesterday. You know, you always talk about the driving and the traffic on the street and that type of thing just about every day.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, Ms. Green, I went up by Rocky Farms to purchase some trees to plant in the park inside the state, like I promised.
Uh-huh.
Coming out of Rocky Farms Road onto Fox Hill Road, I don't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But a gang of police vehicles looked like they was headed in the vicinity of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming out of every corner with sirens blasting, and the traffic was back right up on both sides of Fox Hill Road, headed from Rocky Farms going towards Prince Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And they had people going in the bush trying to get, and they had no, the speed those policemen were going with in those trucks, it was frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a little plastic Japanese car and these big vehicles screaming, and they coming down the middle like they ain't stopping. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And going down, I finally got on to Prince Charles. And I felt a little better in a little hard situation. I thought I was going to drop out of my chair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But after all of that, then we brought the plant home, because I told you what I'm planning to do in Friday State Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Ms. Green, what the Bahamian people said, but we were complaining. Everybody's complaining about the cost of living, the cost of gas, everything going up, going up, going up. And as I drive, like everybody been saying, these big plywood posters all over the parks, all over the streets. I don't know where the sudden rush of money came from that people on the ground can't seem to touch the money, but we can look at these pretty posters. Red posters, blue posters, black posters, whatever kind it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost frightening. And then on top of that, Ms. Green, I told you many times but what my plans are for the park, fixing it up, right?
Yeah.
Got the plans. Got 3 bags of black cow, beautiful plants in my driveway right now, and people coming to put them in the park tomorrow. And guess what, Ms. Green?
Yes, sir.
As much as we're trying to do for the park and try to save for the future of the children,
mm-hmm,
and the residents, you know, people complaining what side political party we are, and we trying to tell them, hey, this is nothing about PLP, COI, or FNM. This is about the constituency, I mean, the residents of Pride Estate,
yeah,
and the future of this country. We planting food to eat. It has nothing to do with Mario Boleg, Rick Fox, or whoever the other lady is. This is about the residents of Pride, having pride, to live in pride, to plant food, like you always tell people, and I always tell people, plant food. We don't need no ficus. No bougainvillea, no hibiscus.
No, pause. No,
we need to plant.
No, we need trees. We need the bougainvillea and the hibiscus because they consumable. We can eat them and we can use them for medicine. But I understand we need a critical and conscious planting so we could balance, right? The ornamentals, the things that we look at, the things that we can eat, and then the things that we could process. Sparky, I want to say thank you very much for your contribution this morning. Let me tell you why. First of all, I always want to ask the question, you know, when I asked that question last week, where's the thin line between party and country, right? You prompt me to ask the next question. Well, look here, who is the enemy? Because it seems like not only, right, like you got 2-3 factions fighting each other, but if you don't pick a side, right? If you don't pick a side, you're also an enemy. And you know what that's similar to? That's similar to the gang culture that we're trying to eradicate from this country. So I want to thank you for making that point. And then, call I come in right now, the point you made about campaign finance reform, like how come the money just coming out when it's election time? And then the third point, you notice in both manifestos, I see nothing about traffic reform or the fact that nobody seems to be able to get the police to perform the most basic of functions, which is traffic enforcement. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for your patience.
I'm great, man. I just want to follow up on, I think, something that Lincoln Bean said.
Okay.
On, I think it was an interview on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Where he said that a person sounds foreign or can't speak the Queen's English,
go tell the COI people.
Now, who will be responsible if fight broke out at the election polls and someone got hurt or someone gets injured because they're offended that some person in their legality.
Absolutely.
Because they have an accent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, because that's so ignorant. That's ignorant.
Yes, that and dangerous.
Ignorant. It shouldn't happen, but I'm calling the flying out to ask you
mm-hmm.
who will be held responsible.
Everybody.
If violence was to break out and someone was to get hurt because COI agents decided to harass a person.
Or encouraged.
Suspect or encourage harassment of person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
At the election board.
Excellent point. Thank you very much for bringing it up. Thank you very, very much, sir. I will say right now, I'm endorsing what that caller just said, and I'm taking it up a notch, right? We now require a statement from the Office of the Prime Minister, the Attorney General's Office, and the Ministry of National Security addressing that statement by Lincoln Bain. If anybody ever say or do anything to suggest to me that they investigating me on any line about who I is and how I speak, and some of y'all are done already telling me I too bougie to be Bahamian. I too privileged to be in ordinary people's life. Let the election be. You're so privileged you could spoil your ballot. Shush and don't trouble the election. I already mad at that. But that you would think that you have the right to determine whether someone's right to vote should be questioned because of how they sound on the line. That's dangerous stuff. And we require statements from the Office of the Prime Minister, the Attorney General's Office, and the Ministry of National Security explaining why that is unacceptable, it is reckless, and what the penalties will be if you engage in said behavior or if said behavior creates an environment in which a fight breaks out. Or injury is incurred. Is that akin to an assault? I need the Attorney General's office to tell me, is that akin to an assault? Because it's about putting fear into somebody that you're going to harm them or that harm will be likely. Thank you, producer. When we get back from the break, we're going to touch... I'm sorry, caller, we got to go to the break. When we get back from the break, we're going to touch on some of the other issues raised by callers in response to this discussion around the national lottery, campaign finance reform, and traffic reform. Anybody watching the road? All them billboards y'all put up and nobody watching the road still? We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message. Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
It's the Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. Hear from Dr. Dwayne Sands, Bambletown, Darren Hinfield, South Beach, Denari Road, Pinewood, Arithia Komalafi, Carmichael, Michael Folks, Golden Gates, Rick Fox, Garden Hills, Deputy Leader, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, and Party Leader, Michael Pintar. This Tuesday, April 14th, at Golden Gates Rural Outreach Ministries parking lot at 7:30 p.m. That's the Free National Movement Fire Forward Rally, Nassau Southern Zone. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hey, KB.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you know, when you love these women, it will really make you do some crazy things.
Boy, I agree with you, right?
Listen, you gotta check this out. This really happened to me.
What?
Yes, boy.
Why you gotta hear this?
My gal asked me to lick ice cream over she kitchen floor.
Producer, I thought the song say, boy, when you love these political parties, you'll do anything. I thought that was a remake. Listen, I got a caller waiting on the line. We're going to go right there. You're back joining On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's get into it. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to Aaron, Cialin Johnson.
Good morning, Cialin.
Just give me a moment to see.
No, I can't because I ain't got plenty time today.
No,
but tomorrow...
Just give me 2 minutes. The reason I'm saying is this, right? Is that we're talking about the iGaming industry, and we like to localize everything.
Under what industry?
We talk about an industry that in 2023, bought in over $500 billion as part of an industry that we have converted it into a proximity gaming environment where and actually closed the door on others. There's a company which 90% of the companies in the Bahamas use called Multislush, right? The setting up a casino in the same capacity, forget for the Bahamas, but for a global perspective, we're talking about gaming, and then we're talking about the wider picture of a national lottery into what is going to grow into a $1 trillion opportunity in the next 5 years due to the decoupling of where the limit of international gaming is basically because you cannot use U.S. dollar or a credit card or whatever to top up. But now that you have cryptocurrencies and other different things, these casinos begin to grow exponentially. So if you consider the fact that when you begin to separate the localization of casinos, or we have redefined it, what we have is a $1 trillion opportunity before us. This is why you have to also question that that you're getting pushback from government in the fact that the 10-year expiration happens, I think, this July, and we have not had this conversation. Others have been trying to have it for a decade because...
All right, see, Aaron, I get
just,
it.
Just let me say this.
But pause. I think the most important thing for the audience right now that you've said is the 10-year moratorium period expires this year, July?
Yes.
Question? All right. Let's stick a pin there. I got to get on to something else. I got a lot of texts. It's a broad conversation. We can talk about that tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Please, thank you. But I appreciate, I think, the most important thing for right now is this conversation is so important, and perhaps that's why C. Allen was really excited about pushing it forward in this moment, is because the moratorium expires in July 2026. Now, that lends to another question I had about why rush? It ain't even junking no time. Why rush the election if you're doing so well? Okay, we're going to go to this caller quickly, and then I got to get back to the notes. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Real quickly, I know you're short on time.
Yes, sir.
You recall when the citizenry voted not for the gambling that we currently have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Christie went against that.
Listen,
I'm wondering now.
But hold on. Remember, the question that was asked was, do you want to regulate webshop gaming, not do you want to legalize it? Okay, bang.
Okay, so he said we don't want to regulate it.
Yeah.
But he went and he regulated and legalized it.
No, it was already, see? Listen.
Go ahead.
I can tell you all this one more time. This is why, hold on, this is why when y'all talk about why these politicians get away with all of this, because y'all refuse to acknowledge, right? That you need a degree of legal literacy to interrogate legal processes and decisions. You cannot apply your ordinary interpretation of words, terms, and processes to the legal realm. I'm going to tell you all this one more time. If they wanted to ask you if you wanted to legalize webshop gaming, they would have asked you if you wanted to legalize webshop gaming. They literally asked you if you wanted to regulate webshop gaming. The implication is that webshop gaming, at the moment that they asked you the question, was already legal.
Gotcha.
Right? I think that's important for the nuanced interrogation that people want to delve into. But I agree with you. The decision that Bahamians made was rejected. I agree with you at that point.
Yeah.
But it's important not to add that legalize to it because they didn't. Why would you all continue to add the word legalize if it wasn't on the piece of paper?
Right.
It wasn't there. It will never be there. And when they, in 100 years and 1,000 years, if the floods don't destroy all the paper documents because we still can't digitize anything yet, it will only say regulate. It will never say legalize.
All right. That was the way around it.
And that's how they keep I just saying.
Thank you much.
Absolutely. I'm sorry if I came off a little rough there, Uncle. I really sorry if I came off a little rough. But even when people say regulate, they throw the legalize in there. It did not exist in the referendum. These exercises have to be pedantic. Every single word has a meaning, and the meaning of the word impacts the meaning of the word next to it. That's why the lawyers get paid the big bucks to interpret. And that's why there are mechanisms for you to address whether you think that your lawyer failed or was incompetent or did not interpret it correctly. Okay, so I wanted to get into the PLP Blueprint for Progress, and I'm going to give you the framing of it right now, right? This is how it starts. The first, it starts with who are we? we are the progressive liberal party. And I want you to know, I wanted to read this, right? It says, we are the party that was born out of the struggle for majority rule, founded because ordinary Bahamians were shut out of the decisions that shaped their own lives. Full stop. Uncle, they have to... This Davis administration surely is not the party that was born out of the struggle for majority rule. And I just want to say, on the first sentence, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
Okay. With this national lottery talking about...
Discussion, yes, sir.
Yeah, that kind of way to the Bahamas. The reason being, we don't have the amount of people. You're looking at under 300 people, 300,000 people.
But Webshop Gaming's working. Hold on. Webshop Gaming is working. No, hold on. I have not seen one Webshop operation owner complain that they ain't making any money and this is a non-profitable business. And I've not heard one government representative suggest that there's not enough taxes emanating from the Webshop Gaming industry for it to be viable. And so if it's viable for Webshop Gaming, why is it not viable for the National Lottery?
Okay.
I'm asking you the question.
Because the payout for the lotto depends on the tickets you sell. The tickets, the lotto tickets, only like $2. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you put millions, you can't really, you don't have that much people there. We have under 300,000 and only with 50,000 people gambling.
But the local people, the local web shop operators are enjoying the profits they're making over the limited pool here.
You talk about the lotto, they buy a ticket at $2.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing in the gambling. You gamble hundreds of dollars. When you buy a ticket, the lotto goes up like one to every week. And the raise 200, if you have 100 people buying tickets, where you can make this money, where you can get the revenue from, pay out. That's different from gambling. That's two different things. And that's the lotto. If we had 2 million people, sure. We don't have the amount of people. You have no lottery. We don't have the kind of people there. 120,000 people, 50,000 people gambling. As a lawyer, you talk about $2 ticket.
Yeah, I think people would commit to it.
No, we don't have the kind of people. You need millions of people to run this lottery.
For me, I wouldn't have a problem because I know people who go out and they buy $18 drinks and $20 drinks like nothing.
I'm telling you, a lotto ticket is $2.
Yes, a lotto ticket is $2. I know young people right now who are so disillusioned with living in this country, they spend $24 on one cocktail.
A lot of can't work if you don't have the amount of people.
Why, thank you. Thank you for your contribution. The gentleman's position is that a national lottery is not viable because we don't have enough people to make it profitable. I don't know. I'd ask the web shop owners how they profitable. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Ms. Aaron Diamond Green.
How you do?
Yeah, listen, man, I was offended by that last caller, and there's no logic in what he's saying, because where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that you can juxtapose the amount of tax given to percentage-wise in the states, like here. So he might be correct about the population, but let's bear in mind that maybe they can throw the lottery every 2 weeks and have, like, little smaller numbers and scratch off, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have tourists coming in, and so you could lure them in. And so the fact that you're talking about the population, that doesn't compute, because I used to play the Florida Lottery when it first came out, and I watched it grow. I used to play the Fantasy Five, and the Fantasy Five used to fall once a week. Now it's falling every day, so it needs to start. And so the PM statement was insulting to me, and it should be to every other citizen. I mean, if you listen to it, there's no logic in it either.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite tragic that he would move along those lines. And the former, the Perry Christie said he has no horse in the race. That's a disgrace statement, really and truly, because even an imbecile would know that can't be true, because he ran against the wishes of the people. And so the bishop, he's married to, like, my aunt, right? I mean, my first cousin, but she's older, so we call her aunt, you know, them. And I thought that statement was kind of selfish also, because we're not living in a theocracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he says that it shouldn't mean anything, because I mean the national lottery obviously would be better, Ms. Green. Why can't we have it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just gave reasons why you could do it bi-weekly. It just can't be the self interest groups are. I have an ILAC account. I know the amount. And so, but the last caller, just show me the data. Don't show me the charter, because it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. They're surviving. They're thriving. They're able to weaponize the money against us in the political season. Mm-hmm. They can go in the House and see how much voters they decide to do the cabinets and the tile and everything mm-hmm. for everybody else. I know what's going on. I'm on the ground. You know, give thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Blessings. Let's go to the next caller, and maybe I'll have a few moments to go through the frame of the progress blueprint. Good morning.
Hey, yes. Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. Yeah. I, you know, 52 said some of the things that I wanted to say about the fact that we have 9 million tourists who come to our mm-hmm. shores every year. Mm-hmm. I don't gamble, Aaron, you know, but, you know, when the Christie government, when the PLP won the government in 2012 and he said that they would get the 2% back from BTC,
mm-hmm.
that 2% he said would be used for sporting activities and mm-hmm. programs.
Yeah.
Even for the last, from 2012 to now, that's what, 14 years or so, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much money we should have gotten? Where the money gone?
Why wouldn't you just tell us how much it is? Even if you won't let us see it.
How much dividends we get? There was another acquisition that they made. They made the same stupid statement that they can
2%
take fund this and fund this, you know? And so this all this a bunch of foolishness, but they'd be lying to us. They'd be lying to us, and everything they get, they go in that consolidated fund. Mm-hmm. I call it a black hole, and it never come out the way the same mm-hmm. way it is, you know?
This...
And I don't gamble, but listen, gambling money in every part of this
country.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
50% or more of the working population works in the tourist industry, in the hotel, mm-hmm. with casinos, mm-hmm. which makes
yeah.
the most revenue.
Yep. And take it out of the country. Yeah.
Which revenues are put in Bahamian banks, which revenues are then put in our churches. You know,
yes, sir.
I work for people who work in casino. I get casino money, all right?
Yeah.
So the fact that all money in that regard is tainted. And,
I hear you.
And some of the statements with the prime minister, it seems like he's trying to protect these guys and these. That's why we need campaign finance reform.
That's up, mate. Thank you.
You
listen.
Know, why don't you pass that, Mr. Prime Minister?
Thank you very much. We all out of time. That's where this article, PLP official addresses finance reform as party outlines election deadlines. I don't know. The guy said, I think that futuristically, I'm scared of that future. Anyway, just as the music plays, the first part of the Blueprint for Progress highlights our commitments building on progress. They're not just promises, they are commitments, and we intend to deliver on every one of them. B, progress at a glance, real results already delivered. This is the part. C, a party of firsts. Working in partnership with the Bahamian people, we have achieved real progress. The policies below represent true firsts. That's the first thing we're going to walk through on the show tomorrow. So if you're looking for a copy of the Blueprint for Progress, it is out there. Political operatives are sharing it everywhere. And see, that's how I knew it hadn't been released yet, because they was going to share that. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Producer, thank you for your patience. Same to the callers. We can get to the Blueprint for Progress tomorrow. I can't be upset that I laid on it, because they was late on it. I bet you they could be late again. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.